Reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 to 16, but also 17 as well, in addition to what's on the service sheet. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple.
Well, many thanks. Do keep that Bible passage open. Don't do what I've just done and shut it. So page 1148. Let me say again, it's lovely to be here. I think this would be we came this morning with my family, and for my four-year-old, this is just about his, he loves boats, and Canary Wharf is his favourite sort of landmark in London. Whenever we used to come up on the train from Sussex into London Bridge, and he'd see Canary Wharf, he'd get hugely excited. So it was his dream this morning to be at a church on a boat in Canary Wharf, and it's been great fun to be here today. Page 1148, 1 Corinthians 3, 10 to 17. There are verses for tonight, but before we look at them, shall we pray and ask the Lord to help us as we do so? Let's pray. Father, we were singing a few moments ago, speak, O Lord, and yet we know the real question isn't whether you will speak, because you have spoken and do and will and are speaking to us through your word. We know the real question is actually whether we'll listen as you speak to us, and we pray that that would indeed be true of us this evening, and that it would be true listening, that we wouldn't simply be acquiring knowledge or hearing things that we then ignore and quickly forget in the business of life. We pray that this evening you'd speak to us in such a way that our thinking and then our whole lives would be transformed, and in a way which acts as a safeguard in our lives and causes us to stay firmly rooted in the gospel. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, I gave you a couple of perhaps slightly alarming statistics a few minutes ago about young people in this country and their exposure to the gospel. How about this for another statistic that I came across recently? Did you know that it's estimated that about 50 or 60 Church of England churches are closed every year in this country? And it's pretty desperate, isn't it? And I always think that one of the striking things about walking around in the city, I don't know if you spend much time in the city, but when you walk around there, amidst all the sort of big companies and so on, you find so many church buildings, don't you? Everywhere you go, down to the side alleys and so on, are church buildings hidden away. But sadly, many of them no longer have a congregation. Go to the West End and you'll find church buildings that have been converted into bars and nightclubs. And as you know, Church of England attendance in this country continues to fall. I think in the last year it's fallen by another 1%. Sad statistics. Now, of course, it's easy for those of us who attend growing or at least thriving churches to consider such statistics, I think, somewhat smugly, and perhaps to rather proudly look down on churches which are dying because, well, let's be honest, they've perhaps sold out theologically. Churches that I guess don't seem to teach the Bible faithfully anymore. And yet the frightening thing is that many of these churches were once faithful. Once upon a time, they did experience sound Bible teaching. Perhaps they were even known for it in their day. And if it could happen to those churches, it can happen to any church, even the Barge or the church which I attend in Dulwich. Now, I know that that may seem rather unlikely at the moment. After all, the Barge is a church committed to the authority of the Bible. I haven't been here before today, but I know the Barge has a reputation for being a clearly evangelical church, a church that sticks to the message of the Bible, and rightly so. But no church is immune from drifting. Just as the natural trajectory of individual Christians will always be to become less keen, that's our natural bent, well, so churches will also naturally drift away from the Bible if left to their own devices. Let's not forget that the church in Corinth, to which Paul wrote this passage we're looking at this morning, barely exists today at all. And that was despite having Apollos and Paul as its first leaders. Faithful roots, a good reputation, and right priorities in the present are no guarantee that a church will remain healthy in the future. So the question is, what's going to ensure that this church will still be flourishing and faithful in 5, 10, 20, or 50 years' time? How do churches remain healthy and continue to grow? That seems to be a large part of Paul's concern here in the middle of 1 Corinthians 3. Just as you here at the Barge enjoy the privilege of sitting under Marcus and Andrew's ministries, so Paul had been one of a number of different ministers in Corinth. Back in verse 6, just before our verses, Paul had reminded the Corinthians of how he'd planted the Corinthian church, but Apollos had watered it. And here in our passage, he changes the metaphor from planting to building. And he explains how any future builders ought to carry on this building project that he'd begun. Just look down with me at verse 10. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. How each generation of church leaders build on the foundation they've inherited is vitally important. That seems to be a key lesson of our passage. So the question is, how will we continue to build God's church here in the Docklands? Well, when faced with that same question in Corinth, the Corinthians thought they knew the answer. If you know 1 Corinthians, you know how back in chapter 1, Paul had been responding to those who thought that the secret to the Christian life lay in the things that the world valued. Yes, Paul had given the Corinthian church the basics, that simple, rather unpopular message of Christ crucified, as he describes it. But that was for infants, babies, they thought. In order to grow into maturity and reach a higher level of spirituality, these Corinthians thought they needed something different, something else. They thought they could move on from the simplistic foundation Paul and others had laid. So Paul talks about the Greeks among them who wanted something more wise, more sophisticated than Paul's rather simple message about the cross. And then he mentioned also some Jews who insisted on something more spiritual, more powerful, more spectacular perhaps. For these Corinthians, the ongoing building of the church was all about moving away from the basic foundation to something more attractive and exciting. And of course, nothing has changed in our own day. So many churches, especially in the Church of England, sadly, seem to have become almost embarrassed about their heritage, the foundation that they've received in the Bible, and insist that the key to ongoing growth is to keep up with the times, to build the church by adapting to what's politically correct today, or by employing worldly growth strategies, or to move on to something supposedly more spiritual. And actually, I think the appeal of something different is a temptation for us all. A couple of years ago, we did a little series in the evening service in Crowborough, going through the Two Ways to Live gospel outline. I guess some of us may be familiar with it. It's a simple summary of the basics of the Christian gospel. And yet a number of people complained that we knew all this already. It was too basic. What we really needed at the evening service, if we wanted to see growth, was something different, these people argued. You see, there's always a danger that we grow tired of the message of Christ crucified and look for something else. I can remember saying exactly the same to my youth leaders as a teenager, telling them that we ought to stop looking at books of the Bible and instead spend our time thinking about something a bit more stretching, about Christian perspectives on political or scientific or ethical questions, perhaps. Now, of course, that's not a bad thing. The Bible always has more to teach us, and it has something to say about every aspect of human existence. But do you see what I was suggesting, really? That I no longer needed the foundation, but something else. So that's the danger which will face every church by nature, I think. And in case we slip into such ways of thinking, Paul has three reminders for us in our passage that we'll spend the rest of our time considering. Here's the first thing that we need to remember. He tells us that the church was built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. I think you've got a slip of paper with these headings on. The church was built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. At the end of verse 9, just before our passage, Paul has introduced this metaphor of a building to describe the church. Of course, he's not talking about a literal building, as Andrew was telling us at the beginning. Strictly speaking, the church isn't the venue in which we're gathered, whether that's an old cathedral or a boat. But it's us, the people. That's why in verse 9, Paul says, "You are God's building." And this Corinthian building project had begun so well. Look at verse 10. Paul says that he had been a skilled master builder as he laid the church's foundation. And if you look down with me at the next verse, we learn what that foundation was. Verse 11. "For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." The church is built on Jesus. Just as the foundation of a building gives it support, so Jesus strengthens the church and is in fact the basis of the whole structure. What makes a building healthy is the foundation. And what makes a church healthy is having Jesus as its foundation. Now, maybe this seems rather obvious, but we must keep remembering it. After all, this is what Paul wanted the Corinthians to remember, and it seems that some of them had forgotten it. Our foundation, the reason we exist, the thing that unites us and holds us together, is Jesus. The church isn't like a social club, you see. Our reason for gathering here this evening doesn't come from a common liking for Christian music or from shared friendships or having similar outlooks in life. We mustn't get so hung up on the often good things about church that we get attached to that they become foundational for us. A church's security, for example, doesn't come from strong finances, though we thank God for his provision. Neither does its foundation come primarily from being a part of the Church of England and what it stands for. Nor is a church's foundation its human leaders, something that the Corinthians were unhealthily concerned about. No, the healthiness of a church doesn't depend on having leaders who are dynamically gifted or well-known or trendy in the world's eyes. It's Jesus, not our favourite Christian author or celebrity pastor, who causes the church to grow. And most importantly of all, perhaps, this means that the church's foundation isn't changeable, so that each generation is free to tamper with the basics of the Christian message. No, the foundation has already been laid, and it can't be changed. Have a look at verse 11. Verse 11 once more. Paul says that no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You can't change the foundation of a building, can you? It's set in stone, it's fixed. And the church also must stay true to its foundation. There can be no other authentic, safe foundation than Jesus. But the trouble, I guess, is that foundations don't always seem very exciting. When you look at a nice building, you notice the design or the architecture of the windows, maybe, or the people that you can see inside. What you don't do when you look at a building is think about the foundations underneath. But those other things are only there because the foundations are firm. I guess some of the Corinthians were in danger of thinking that the foundations Paul had laid for them and on which their whole faith rested just weren't very exciting. And we mustn't make the same mistake in our day, the church is built on Jesus. So like a healthy building, if we want to be strong as local churches, we must keep coming back again and again to Jesus. I wonder if it's Jesus who we love to talk about. Or are we sometimes more excited by discussing or identifying ourselves by other areas of theology? I wonder if we ask ourselves what a Bible passage teaches us about Jesus when we open up the Bible on our own each day, as I hope we're in the habit of doing. Would a newcomer here at the Barge be guaranteed to hear about Jesus every single week? You see, we must stay rooted in Jesus. And of course, that means in the same Jesus that Paul preached. Notice how he says that it's he who laid the foundation in Corinth that couldn't be changed. It's the Jesus of the Bible, Paul's Jesus, who we must stay rooted in. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul speaks of different Jesuses being preached in Corinth. As we've seen, Paul preached Christ crucified, the Jesus who died to rescue us from our sins. But others were preaching a Jesus who perhaps fitted better to the Corinthian culture. Not the real Jesus, but a distorted one. And we must make sure the Jesus on whom we base our church and the Jesus we proclaim is the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus who gave his life to rescue us from sin, and not just the Jesus who's a crutch to get me through bad times. The Jesus who will one day judge the world rather than a Jesus who tolerates anything and anyone. The Jesus who calls us to come after him and taking up our cross rather than a Jesus who can just be bolted on to my comfortable way of life. I guess that's the message that Marcus will have been preaching this week in Crowborough. The message of Christ crucified. The same foundational message that Paul first gave to the Corinthians. And it's the message actually that we all need to keep hearing, that we never graduate from. Because not only was the church built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, but secondly, the church is also built up on the foundation of Jesus Christ. So that's our second heading. The church is built up on the foundation of Jesus Christ. You see, the Corinthian mistake was to think that they could start with Jesus and then move on to something else. That true wisdom or spiritual maturity lay elsewhere. That Christ crucified was just for infants, for those at the beginning of their Christian lives, perhaps. At the end of verse 10, Paul moves from describing the foundation to discussing those who he says are building upon that foundation. And he says that each builder must take care how he builds upon it. Now, I'm no architect or engineer, but I imagine that the stability of the huge buildings that surround us in Canary Wharf and the size to which they can be built depends upon each new phase of building work being done in line with the foundations, not suddenly building off at a different trajectory that points in another direction from the foundations. And yet the temptation for churches is always to go off in a different direction from their roots. Seems that in Corinth, some were seeking to take the building off in a trajectory away from Jesus, or at least away from Paul's Jesus, Christ crucified. And again, we need to listen to Paul's words. The ongoing growth and healthiness of a church isn't achieved through changing tack in order to follow the latest fads and fashions of the world, or the wider church scene for that matter, but by continuing to build in line with the foundations. So how can you at the Barge make sure you take care to continue to build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ? I guess with those precious materials that Paul goes on to mention in verse 12. Well, I guess it must mean keeping the Bible at the heart of church life, mustn't it? I've been in churches where the small groups have felt that it would be an exciting novelty to do something other than study the Bible when they meet. But if we want to build on the foundation of Jesus, we must come back again and again to the Bible. Similarly, we must resist the temptation to think that something other than than Bible teaching will be needed to grow our church. We must pray for our leaders to keep teaching about Jesus from the Bible and check that what they say is what the Bible passage is saying. and we mustn't pressure them to change emphasis. Too often I think that when a church's leadership drifts, it's in part because a congregation has worn down its pastors in such a way that they just begin to change priorities or tone down the uncomfortable warnings of the Bible for the sake of an easier ride. We must make sure that we don't have that kind of effect on our leaders. And I guess this is all particularly important when churches choose new pastors and staff. The danger is that churches which have been blessed by a long history of Bible teaching think that they need something different, something fresh when it comes to appointing new leaders, that they need to head off on a different trajectory, something less evangelism focused perhaps, or less word driven. But for Paul, such an approach would be suicide. He had laid the foundation in Corinth, and he expected each future builder there to keep building on his foundation with materials that would last. So what the barge needs in 10, 20, and 50 years' time is leaders who keep preaching Christ crucified from the Bible. That's how a church remains strong. It's built up by staying true to the same foundations from which it was first built. And it's not something we can ever take for granted. A great reformer, Martin Luther, the man who sort of started the Reformation, said in his own day of his experience, he said that it's rare to find a church where the pure word of God has been faithfully preached for more than 20 or at the most 30 years. His observation was that churches which had the Bible taught would too easily grow tired of them and move on to something else. And we must remember, the foundation must remain the same. And of course, there's much at stake here, isn't there? This isn't simply a matter of personal preferences or different approaches to how to do church. And that brings us on to our final heading. Judgment Day will reveal the quality of the building. Judgment Day will reveal the quality of the building. Now, of course, it's not possible to see the foundations of a building, is it? They're hidden away underground. But the test of their strength comes in the storm. When earthquakes struck Mexico City or Christchurch in New Zealand, the buildings which were structurally strong survived, while others collapsed. Those others may have looked healthy and vibrant to the eye, while those which stood firm may, in some cases, have perhaps looked fairly unremarkable. But when the tremors came, the true test of their strength was revealed. And the equivalent of the earthquake for Christian churches will be Judgment Day. When Jesus returns, it will be abundantly clear which ministries bore lasting fruit and which, like the ministry some of the Corinthians craved, were superficial or even bogus. Just have a look down with me at verse 12. Paul writes, "Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire." Paul is talking about a day of fire here, the day of judgment. And although there's a little bit of debate, it seems that he's contrasting those materials which can survive fire, such as gold, silver, and precious stones, with those which are easily burned up by fire, wood, hay, straw. And Paul uses these different materials as an illustration of different types of ministry. Some ministry lasts. It will survive the fire of Judgment Day and be proven to have been genuine. In eternity, it will bear much fruit. But other ministry, however vibrant it may seem now, or popular, because of course not every church that moves away from the foundations will die. Some can be very popular. Other ministry will count for very little when Jesus returns. It will be burned up because it was built using the wrong materials. And Paul draws attention here, I think, to three different types of builder. First up, there's the dependable builder of verse 14, the dependable builder. This builder builds upon the foundation in line with the Bible's teaching about Jesus. Verse 14, if the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. This is the builder who keeps on preaching the gospel of Christ crucified from the Bible week by week and year by year. The preacher who's still preaching the same at the end of his ministry as he was at the beginning. And because his ministry survives, he receives a reward. Next, though, there's what we might call the distracted builder of verse 15, the distracted builder. And such ministries are especially tragic, I think. This builder is a Christian, it seems. He'll be saved, but only as through fire, Paul says. His ministry will be a wasted one because he's been distracted by wrong priorities. His work will be burned up because he's used shoddy tools which don't last. He hasn't kept on building in line with the foundation. I don't know, perhaps this is the pastor who's lost confidence in the power and continuing relevance and sufficiency of faithful Bible exposition. Or the vicar who thinks that biblical teaching may be the foundation, but that something different will be needed to bring revival to his church. Or the minister who gives in to pressure from church members to focus on things other than the work of the gospel. It's a distracted ministry, which in the final analysis bears little fruit. But worse still, there's the destructive builder of verses 16 and 17. Let me read those verses and notice how they offer a sobering warning to us all. Verse 16. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy and you are that temple. The person in view here will be destroyed, Paul says. Again, notice that the temple here is not a literal building, but the Corinthian Christians themselves. And like a building with weak foundations that collapses when the earthquake comes, it's possible for churches to be destroyed, either by ceasing to exist, as is the case in so many of the cities to which the New Testament letters were written, or by persisting in adopting a ministry that fails to be in line with that of the Bible. This might happen through a false teaching that changes the foundation of a church away from Christ crucified. Or it may not be church leaders, but are individual Christians who sow destruction through the kind of quarrelling and factions which Paul mentions at the beginning of this chapter, and which were such a sad feature of the Corinthian church. But the point is clear. It's possible to destroy the building project if we don't build in line with the foundations. Now, this is a frightening passage for those of us in particular, I think, who teach the Bible, whether that's up front or in small groups or at Christianity Explored or in youth and children's work or whatever it may be. Because it tells us that our ministry will have eternal consequences for those who we teach and maybe for us. And the reason is that the health of the church is very important and depends to such a large extent on its leaders. After all, as verse 16 reminds us, we belong to God and his Spirit lives in us. It's a serious thing to mislead God's people or bring harm to his church. So let's return to that question which we raised near the beginning. How will faithful biblical ministry continue here in the Docklands for many generations as we pray it will? Well, only by the barge clinging in each generation to the foundations of Jesus Christ. Every generation needs to stick to and proclaim the same thing. And it's that same gospel message that Paul first preached in Corinth. We mustn't be like the Corinthians and think that we can move on to something else. Perhaps one or two of us here have started to follow Jesus in the last year. Well, the way to grow and to go on as a Christian will be to stick with the Jesus who died on the cross to save us from judgment. we ever move away to a new area. The way to stay strong as a Christian will be to find a church that's equally committed to listening to the voice of Jesus in the Bible. If ever we grow stale in our faith, the solution won't be to try something different, but to go back to the foundations, to Jesus, and to marvel again at what he did for us. And if we do those things, then we can be sure that a healthy church will remain here long after we've departed and be one where the ministry will survive the test of Jesus' return. Let's pray that that would be true of us by God's grace. Let me lead us in prayer. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. Thank you so much, our Heavenly Father, for the Apostle Paul and others who laid the foundation of the church. Thank you that the Lord Jesus is that foundation and we have it preserved for us in the Bible. And we thank you for those who've laid that strong biblical foundation in this church family at the Barge, and for those involved in maintaining it and building upon it today. And yet we pray so much that by your grace, that each successive generation in this church will be one which builds in line with the foundations. We pray for ourselves that you would help us to resist the temptation to look elsewhere. Help us to remember that the way in the Christian life is also the way on, and that to move on is actually to move away from Jesus. And we pray especially for Marcus and for Andrew and others involved in teaching the Bible here at the Barge. Please help them to be those who keep believing and teaching and defending the Lord Jesus and the message about him. And we pray that as they do so, this church would grow and be built up and be a place where many others in future generations come to hear of Jesus. And we ask it for his sake. Amen.